that unit exam. And during times like this, amen from the crowd, most of us got pretty good at cramming information into our craniums and keeping it there just long enough to regurgitate it, right? And then that was it, because we had really no connection to the material or the author. It was simply information to help us move forward. Now, I'm sure once you started getting up into those upper courses and maybe had a little bit of a choice in the matter, especially in college, once you declared a major, maybe you actually enjoyed some of those courses and there was a little bit of connection to that information, and that's a good thing, right? But there were also those classes where these studying tactics came into play and you used it for a practical purpose. You were trying to get that good grade. You were trying to be able to tell your professor, yes, I read that chapter, or yes, I finished that book report, or I solved all those problems, yes, etc., etc. And when your set purpose was accomplished, you didn't think about that information ever again. Now, as a dad, that's becoming more and more of a problem for me as my kids bring their homework to me, and I'm like, I think I remember that. I think. It's in there somewhere. Got to dust it off. Now, in contrast, think back with me to a time where you received a letter in the mail from a loved one or a close friend. This is a letter you had been anticipating because you truly loved this person and you missed them. Can you remember that sense of excitement you had when you found that letter in the mail and you opened it up? Now, for some of you, this was a love letter from your significant other who was away on business or maybe just travel or wherever it might have been. Can you remember how wonderful it was to have this special person express their feelings to you? Do you remember where you were when you read it? Maybe in a quiet, private place. And as you read it, every word you savored, every word you pondered, what might these things mean? Now, the sad reality for many of us is as we approach God's word, we approach it more like a textbook than a love letter. And whether you were taught to search Scripture for information or maybe you've adopted this approach as a default mode, oftentimes we come to Scripture to cover as much ground as possible, as quickly as possible. Oftentimes our emphasis in information mode is to master the text for our own benefit. We're gathering information. We're trying to interpret something or apply the information. We're trying to prove our point about something, or we're trying to gain a ministry tool. And when we're in this mode, it is increasingly hard for us to hear anything from the Lord because we have so many, most of the time, unconscious defenses in place. But listen to me, church. When we posture ourselves humbly with God, like we've been talking about in this series, it's here in that posture with God that we can learn and be transformed by the Holy Scriptures. Remember with me from 2 Timothy 3, Paul's instruction to young Timothy regarding this sacred space. Paul instructs him, "But as for you, young Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are being able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful for teaching and for reproof and correction and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work." And so the study of Scripture for learning and knowledge is very important. But if we stop there, we will miss out on being thoroughly equipped and transformed by God's powerful Scripture. Now, several years ago, I was awakened to a fundamentally different kind of engagement with Holy Scripture. And here's what I learned, and here's what I believe. When we engage the Scriptures for spiritual transformation, we make it our top priority to listen to God relationally. We are with God, and we are listening, instead of seeking only to learn more about God cognitively. It's both, right? It's a both and approach. And so our approach to Scripture should be driven by our longing, our excitement to read God's love letter to you and I, to the world. We read slowly. We read slowly in order for it to sink in deep. And as we read it, we savor every word. And as we read it slowly, we contemplate, what does this mean? Rather than rushing on to the next chapter like we're trying to complete a reading assignment, we stay put and we create space for God to speak to us. We make room to contemplate its meaning for our life and how it is compelling us to live out the kingdom way of Jesus. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, and there's plenty of room on the back of Alta Mesa Life for you to do that, in this kind of learning and listening posture, write this down. Scripture becomes an instrument in God's hands rather than a tool we control for our own means. And for me, that was a huge shift in approach. Scripture becomes an instrument in God's hands rather than a tool that we control for our own means. Think about this. When we fall in love with someone, we desire to know everything about them, right? We jump in the deep end head first and we're like, just tell me all of it, right? Tell me all the stories, all about your relationships and your family. Tell me every event that has ever shaped you. And I just want to know it all. Tell me all about it. But eventually the longing to know them moves beyond fact finding to seeking understanding and deeply connecting with them emotionally and sensing our response and understanding of them. And so as we approach Scripture as God's love letter to His beloved creation, as opposed to a textbook, we begin to pay attention to our deeper longings to know God and His will for our lives. And so we open up ourselves to a different set of questions. Now, there's some questions that we ask regularly that are good questions. Typical questions of Scripture that we have is what does this say and what does this mean? And then how can I apply it to my life? Those are all good questions concerned mostly with our cognitive activity, which, if you think about it, allows us to remain in control of the experience. But in addition to those questions, I'd encourage us today to think about questions like these. How do I feel about what is being said? Where do I find myself resonating deeply with this Scripture? Where do I find myself resisting, right? With arms stretched out, hands up. No, don't want to do that. Don't think I can do that. Maybe you're pulling back. Maybe you're wrestling with the text. Ask yourself, why do I feel this way? What do my reactions tell me about my spiritual condition? And am I willing to change? These are all significant heart questions. And I would encourage you, as you are reading a text and you ask yourself these questions, don't push back on the inner dynamics at play within you. Don't suppress the resistance to the text. Don't ignore it. Don't say, well, that's not a big deal, I'll just keep reading. But instead, pay attention to this. Don't dismiss it. Don't suppress it. Because what I will tell you is I believe this is God beginning to move in your life. The Holy Spirit bringing something to light for you to contemplate and for you to be transformed more into the likeness of God. Everything within us wants to dismiss the resistance, right? We don't like how that makes us feel. We want to get rid of it. We want to ignore it. But rather than judging yourself, and I'm prone to do that, instead of judging yourself, God invites you to sit with Him, with whatever it is, to bring your true self before Him. As an example, let's say you're reading through the Sermon on the Mount and you get to chapter 5. And as you're reading the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48 begin with this, and you read it, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And maybe your first thought, maybe your first response to that scripture is, "I don't think so. No thanks." And instead of, are you following me? Instead of dismissing that, instead of ignoring that, pause with it. Sit with it. And as you make that choice, maybe you would begin to realize that underneath your piety are some unresolved anger issues toward maybe a specific person. Maybe they've hurt you, or maybe they're an irritant in your life, right? And there's anger there. There's frustration there. And perhaps you think to yourself, "I thought I had put all this to rest. I thought I'd worked through this." But what this scripture is helping you to do is to realize, no, you have not. And there's more work to be done here. So in this moment, in your response to this scripture, your heart and your soul is revealing that there is anger still alive and well there. And when you see this person, you still feel anger because of the way that they hurt you or whatever it might be. And so no wonder there's something rising up in you as you read this scripture and you think to yourself, if that is the person, if that's the enemy, or if that's the irritant that I'm supposed to love and pray for, count me out. And so now you have a choice to make, right? You have a choice to make in this sacred space. Will you go deeper with the Lord in this, or will you stop? Will you walk away from it and let it sit? If you choose, you can reflect further on what's going on here. And the two questions that were given to me a few months ago as I was working through something similar, a similar type of exercise, these were the two questions given to a group that I was in. Number one, what does my response tell me about my spiritual condition, and am I willing to grow? And then number two, am I willing to look at this in God's presence and let Him form me? That's a big question. Now God and I are having a substantial conversation, right? Now there's some deep heart and soul work going on here, and we're not just reading the text for information, but we're reading it for spiritual formation. And what I want to leave you with today is this: we need to adopt a way of approaching Scripture that will move us from our over-reliance on information gathering to a place of intimate encounters with God. We need to make that movement. We need to make that shift in our approach, in our engagement with Scripture. So, what I'd like us to do over the next few moments is I want to do my very best of walking us through an exercise called Lectio Divina, which simply means sacred reading. And this is an ancient practice rooted in the belief that through the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures are indeed alive and at work in our lives as we engage them for spiritual transformation. So I'd ask us all now to open up our hearts and minds. We sang songs about this to start the morning off. And now I want us to put it into practice. Open up your heart, open up your mind to this spiritual exercise. Listen attentively to what the Lord has for us from the Scriptures today. So first, maybe the most uncomfortable part for some, a moment of silence. with God. Before we read the scriptures, a moment of silence helps us to quiet our inner chaos. And so if you came with some chaos this morning and it's turning in you, bring that to God right now. Let him quiet your spirit so that you can better listen to him. And maybe during this moment of silence, you can repeat silently a prayer. And if you don't have a breath prayer, let me offer you this one. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Let's contemplate with the Lord now. So next, I've selected a passage of scripture that I'll read aloud, and I would just ask, as I read it slowly, that you listen carefully, and perhaps there's a word, maybe a phrase that strikes you, that stands out above the rest, and this word or phrase, it somehow is drawing you in. Perhaps it causes a reaction in you and has a deep sense of resonance or maybe even resistance. Whatever it is, don't fight it. Sit with it before God. After I read this passage, there will be silence. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, take the word or phrase that stood out to you. Continue to sit with it before the Lord. And as I read this passage again, listen carefully for the way this text connects with your life. Ask yourself this question: what is it in my life right now that needs to hear this word? And after I read the passage, there will be silence. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. next as I read the passage one last time. Ask yourself this question. What is my response to God based on what I have heard? Listen closely to your deepest and truest response to the word. And at this point, share with God the feelings that the scripture has awakened. Feelings maybe like love or joy, maybe sorrow or anger, repentance or desire or need, conviction or confession. Pour yourself completely into God's invitation for you to respond to his word. And after I read the passage, there will be silence. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. As we emerge from this place of reflective reading with God, it's time for us now to resolve to carry this word with you and live it out. And so over the next few minutes, we're going to have the opportunity now to respond. One way we're going to do that is we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, and we're going to do that at four stations. We've done this before. There's two up here and two in the back. If you're unable for any reason to get up and move about, if you'll just raise your hand, we'll bring communion to you. And so as we partake in the Lord's Supper, either before you take the Lord's Supper or after you take the Lord's Supper, you also have the opportunity to respond to one another and to the Lord. You can receive prayer. Ministers and shepherds will be back in the back of the worship center to receive you. You can come up at either of these stations on either side of me on the lower stage to write a prayer. And last week you had the opportunity to confess something, to write your confession down and then to nail it to the cross as a symbol that you're going to crucify that passion, that fleshly desire, that it's not going to be master over you any longer. We want to give you another opportunity to do that today. Maybe you felt that nudge of the Spirit, that conviction of the Spirit pushing you to do that, and you ignored it, you suppressed it, you decided not to do it. Well, today, perhaps you're feeling that conviction again. Don't ignore it. The Word, the phrase that stood out to you as we walked through Scripture this morning, don't ignore it. Don't suppress it. Respond to it this morning. Come, nail something to the cross. I'll be down front right here. And if you're ready to respond to the Lord and to give your life to the Lord in baptism, we would love to do that this morning. We would love to witness your baptism this morning. So come and do that. So I'm going to pray here in just a moment. I'm going to pray for our Lord's Supper time, but I'm also going to pray for this opportunity to respond to the Lord as we commune with the Lord and as we commune with one another. Respond now as a way to support your intention of living out the word that you've received today. Let's pray together now as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Our Father in heaven, we bow now and we come into this sacred space in your presence, remembering your son's body that was broken by partaking of the bread. By remembering the blood of your son that was poured out, that was shed for the redemption of the world. And we partake of the cup now, Father, to remember his sacrifice, his precious blood. But Father, we also commune with one another and with you as we respond to the word that you've given to us this morning. And I pray that you would give us the courage, the resolve to respond now in confession, in prayer, in baptism, in journaling our thoughts down. God, move within us, be active within us, and give us the courage to respond, to be open to communion with you and with one another. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Come and partake now. Station nearest you.
To redeem.